Welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt of papanewt.com in Omaha, Nebraska, and in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of luckymojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conjureman of conjuremanconsulting.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we'll be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, Brother Christopher of runeworker.com in Los Angeles, California, bringing us the topic on practical astrology, planetary magic spells in hoodoo. Together, they will teach you all about the subject and then provide a related free spell near the end of the program. But first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Contraman. Miss Cat?
Hi. Well, Mercury is retrograde, a great day to discuss planetary magic. We'll get into that in a moment. I'm reminded of it because of some of the people here in chat. One of them, Coastside Conjure, an old friend, makes a Mercury retrograde oil for people who can't take it straight. They need it with a chaser of Mercury retrograde oil. I'm here to say hi to Conjureman, but before I do that, I want to make a couple of just little quick announcements. One of which is I want to thank the folks at the shop for keeping the shop running. Things have been a little more chaotic than usual, and so just everybody's hanging on. I'm really pleased with that, and everyone is not blowing their stacks, which is good. And I also want to say thanks to Nagashiva for the beautiful little placard for today with all of the planetary signs and the colors and the different ways of going around circularly or following the little arrows. And you'll all learn about that in a moment. And I'd like to have Conjureman say hi, read our winners from last week, because I'm going to go grab a couple of books so that I'm back here with the books I wanted to be able to consult. The shop was a little much. We had many, many walk-in people, and I also was on Hoodoo Psychics, and people were calling like crazy. So I'm going to turn this over to you, Conjureman. How about it?
Yeah, of course. Thanks. It's great being here, and I'm very excited about this topic. I'm going to read our winners here, the Nagashiva has sent us. So our Magic Monday winners, or their Magic Monday winners. Last week's Hoodoo Psychics Magic Monday contest winner was Mickey Frazier, so congratulations to you. This is a really cool put on by the various organizations here. Then Facebook Fridays, this week's the three Facebook Friday winners. Each one a Phoenix LaFay author special, which consists of the following books: Hoodoo Shrines and Altars and Cash Box Conjure, both by Miss Phoenix LaFay. And the three winners are Jill Racine, Sherry Wynn, and Sherry Robinson. Congratulations to all three of you. You got some really cool books there. If you are one of the three winners, please contact the Lucky Mojo Facebook page. Congratulations to all of you. I'm super excited about this particular topic, if I can say so myself. Astrological magic is something I'm very fond of, and one of my oldest practices, if I may say so, and what I've been studying probably for my entire life. So excited to be part of this conversation with two other brilliant astrologers, though we all have our very different approaches to astrology. So I think it'll be great to have a nice diverse conversation here.
I agree. We are all different. We come from different forms of astrology, and that's what's so cool. Astrology is a very large field. I've got my four books, and let's bring in Brother Christopher. Hi, Brother Christopher.
Welcome. Hi, Miss Cat. Hi, Conjureman.
It's always nice to have you as a guest here. You're so well-spoken, and you're so clear in your thoughts. So before we start, I'd like people who have some of our books to get the following four books, because they're all good. And if you don't have these books, you might want to go on over to Amazon or Lucky Mojo right now and order them. So one of them is called How to Use Amulets, Charms, and Talismans in the Hoodoo and Conjure Tradition by Kat Ironwood, that's me, and Gregory Lee White. Now you go, what does amulets, charms, and talismans have to do with planetary magic? Well, trust me, read the book and you will find that there are beautiful planetary zodiacal charms and also seals, charms that are seals. But the jewelry for the zodiac also always contains the ruler of the sign, which is a planet. And there's some really good information here about why those gemstones are used and why there are gemstones of the planets. So it's a good book. Next book, Astrology for Root Workers by me. This is about astrology that doesn't require math. And there's quite a bit in here, some of it old, some of it, you know, less old, about working with the planets, but most of the book is about the moon signs, but yet there is a lot about planetary magic, particularly on page 70 and 71, Seven Sacred Planets, and then there are some spells for those. The next book is Legends of Incense, Urban Oil Magic by Louis de Clermont. It came out in 1936, and I reprinted it in 2016. And this book has material about seals and sigils, and it goes sort of deep into talismanic magic of a general sort. And it contains material also about working with what I would call the more occult forms of magic as well as hoodoo. It's a very interesting thing. In it, there is an advertisement for a particular old hoodoo product, which is seven Holy Spirit baths. And I'm going to talk about that a little later. That's on page 71. And also there are the seals of the seven planets from the seals of Moses are in this book. So this book is a real introduction to planetary magic in hoodoo, and it came out in 1936 originally. The last book is The Guiding Light to Power and Success by Mikhail Strabo. And this also contains materials about planetary magic. It starts on page 40. It contains that little cute drawing of the seven planets, which we'll talk about. And then it contains abbreviated versions of the Orphic hymns to the seven sacred planets, to the Sun, the Moon, Mars, Mercury, Jupiter, Venus, and Saturn. And these are just given here. It tells you what herbs to use, what how to make the candle of the right color, the type of incense to use, and then what hymn to say if you were going to work in a classical style. So those four books will set you up with what I would call beginner plus intermediary planetary magic. Now, I'm going to turn this over to Christopher.
Thanks, Ms. Kat. So, in that vein of beginner to intermediate planetary magic, most people are familiar with how the days correspond to the planets, with obviously the sun and Sunday and the moon and moon day. Whereas other days of the week are not so clear, especially in English, because we use the names of the Anglo-Saxon Germanic Norse gods for our day names. So instead of like Marti in Spanish, which is the day of Mars, we talk about Tuesday because the Romans equated Tu, this god of war, to Mars, their god of war. And so it became in English Tuesday. Woden is Wednesday, who corresponds to Mercury. Thor is Thursday, who corresponds to Jupiter, and so on and so forth. But in other languages, of course, it's much clearer because their day names are often literally the names of the planets that they're associated with. But within those days, there is another more detailed system known as the planetary hours. And your most people's first thought when they hear about planetary hours is that they think literally like the 24-hour division of the day just has the planets assigned to it. And that is technically correct, except it doesn't actually use our 24-hour time clock that we're familiar with. Instead, you divide the day into the day hours and the night hours, and then you have to do some mathematics, and or at least people used to have to do mathematics, and you take the hours of the day, divide it equally by 12, and then that division then becomes the 12 hours of the daytime, and then you do the same thing from sunset to sun to the next sunrise, and that becomes the 12 hours of night. So these hours change in length depending upon the time of year that you're looking at, with the day hours being longer in the summer and the night hours being longer in the winter. But then they break up all of these 12 hours into different rulerships under the planets, with the first hour always falling to the planet of that day at sunrise. So it's always really easy to find the first hour to work from. And that's why a lot of people and a lot of spells from the Middle Ages and even more recent times tell people to start at the first hour on a Wednesday to do something with Mercury, or on the first hour of a Thursday to do something with Jupiter, because you're already going to be not only in the planetary day, but also the planetary hour.
Okay, I'm gonna break in here for a minute, because you mentioned a couple of things, and I want to get this really quick out to people. Yes, it used to take some math to do that calculation. You needed to know when sunrise would be, when sunset would be. Then you had to be able to divide all those number of minutes by 12, and then, you know, so forth and so on. And you needed to know the order of the planets as well. But there, in those books I mentioned, there was a man named Professor Seward, Professor A.F. Seward, Alfred Francis Seward, and he came up with this little calculation device that is, he sold it. It was called Professor Seward's Planetary Calculator. And that can be used to figure this out remarkably accurately without any math at all. You just have to have this little crazy little pocket calculator that he had, and you would just sort of rotate it around. You would pick what day of the year you were on, and it would then readjust the time for you. It's accurate, I would say, to within 10 minutes if you really take time to look at it and understand what it, how it works. And you can find it in Astrology for Root Workers on page 71, a picture of the little planetary calculator. And if you ever find one for sale, I got dibs on it, okay? I've never found one for sale. I've seen photos of them. They do exist. They're all around. But I was always hoping someone would remake them. In any case, that's a planetary hour calculator, but even that is just an antiquated little tool, although it's super clever. It's been replaced by digital calculation programs. You can get an app for it that you can install on your phone, or you can go online to a website. Just go to Google and type planetary hour calculator and just give the date that you're in or interested in, and it'll give it to you. So we don't have to do all of that kind of work.
And the technology really makes it super easy. So I use a planetary hour calculator that it's a website that I've bookmarked, but I also, like, you can save a bookmark website and it looks like an app on your phone. And you can click on it and it'll just open up directly to that website. And I use that on my phone all the time, and it's super handy. And I love it. And I recommend it to people all the time.
So what is
planetaryhours.net?
Planetaryhours.net. Okay.
And there's no ads on it. Like, and the guy is just a astrology person who's exploring various astrology stuff.
Now, one of the things that I find so interesting about planetary hours is when you are on a day, say, for instance, Wednesday, because of the way it's set up, at sunrise, you are in not only the day of Mercury, but also the hour of Mercury. And as you know, all of you who have studied African-American folk magic, people always say, oh my God, do I have to get up at sunrise and take a bath at sunrise? Yeah, because that doubles the power of that planetary day. In other words, you would be in a Mercury hour on a Mercury day if you took a bath at sunrise. So there's so much work done at sunrise that it's very important to understand it is actually correlates completely with this ancient form of work. And I remember once being told by an old lady who was telling me about doing spells twice a day. And she said, yeah, you do it once when the sun comes up and once when the sun goes down. And that was exactly the planetary hours of those days for what you were doing. And she was one of those people who said, you know, you work for love on a Friday and you do it at dawn and you do it at sunset, not by the clock, but by the sun position.
By the exact timing of the rising and setting of the sun,
yeah.
which is something else, like the planets also rise and set. Mm-hmm. And there are apps that you can use as well as websites that will tell you, like scientific websites that will tell you when a planet rises, when it culminates, which is it reaches like the topmost, like the sky over your head, and mm-hmm. then when it sets again. So mm-hmm. that's also an option to work with a planet as well in a yeah. in a very non-mathematical specific way. Especially because the planets are considered to be really strong, especially when they're rising on the horizon and when they're culminating and reaching the height of the sky. Mm-hmm. And if it also happens to line up with the planetary hour of the day and the planetary day, like, yay, mm-hmm. double lucky. Like,
I'm going to just jump in here. Coastside Conjurer just wrote something in the chat. She said, I recently found out I was born on a Wednesday. I will tell myself that is why I work well with making the Mercury retrograde oil. But everybody can also find out what day of the week they were born on. Again, you just type in your birthday and write day of the week, and you know the powers that run the internet will give you the answer. And that is, in some ways, an important day for you and an important planet for you. Just something to keep in mind. If you're adding layers of power to your spells, these are the kind of layers you want to keep on building upon. What about you, Conjure? You've been quiet.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a really interesting discussion. I would add that if you're adding layers, if you're thinking about, for example, when a planet is rising and when a planet is culminating in the sky, you also want to make sure what the actual condition of that planet is. Like, is it in its sign? Is it in its a hostile sign? And this is where you add on those layers of meaning and where astrology can become incredibly complex. So astrological magic runs the gamut from really simple to really complex. And that's because astrological magic in the Western world, and the key here is the Western world, because astrological magic exists globally. There's a method that you'll find in China. There's indigenous methods that you will find. But the method that we're talking about that really influences hoodoo and that was really drawn from the European sources actually emerges from the Chaldean and Sabian magic. In turn, it's influenced by like Hellenistic, Persian, and Egyptian practices, and then given a cohesive methodology in the Islamic world, where we have texts like the Ghayat al-Hakim and the Shamal, which is then translated into Latin, into the Picatrix. The full methods include planetary theurgy, talismans, potions, incenses, conjurations, and a whole set of secret methods that people in the West don't know because they haven't even been translated from Hebrew and Arabic and Greek sources. But you actually get a really cool range of practices from like the most basic elections for like things like when should you send letters, when you should take medicines, and that can be something like paying attention to where the moon is, which is the most basic form of electional astrology or astrological magic. You want to pay attention to the phase of the moon and you want to avoid when the moon is in Scorpio, which was like the number one thing. Like they're like, don't put the moon in Scorpio, especially for matters of love. We just had the moon in Scorpio, so that's why I'm thinking about it. If you slid into your lover's DMs and they didn't respond back, that might be why they didn't, because the moon was in Scorpio. This is what I call the weather approach. It's actually in Arabic, it's called ikhtar. Hayat. So it's called the weather approach. And it's basically, you know, you check the weather before you plan a picnic. And if you're aware of the basics of what the moon phase is, where the moon is, you can start to make those basic elections, both in terms of the actions that you can take so that you're better at getting what you want, applying for that job, wanting to get that person that you texted, clicking like on something, etc. But the more intermediate is when you add in those planetary hours, which adds a next level of symbolism. So imagine if, for example, you do something on Friday, and you're starting to do ritual magic. You're not just doing weather. You're not paying attention to the weather. You are now starting to create ritual symbolism. So you want to do something on Friday at dawn. So Friday in the hour of Venus, while the moon is waxing, while the moon is in Taurus or Libra, now you have the perfect weather conditions to do a love spell. And it can be a really powerful one. It can be something as simple as you're going to create a magical perfume for yourself. It can be something that, like, you want to create a honey jar. But now you've added an incredible amount of timing symbolism. All of this astrological magic is based on three things. And this is, I think, where we can sort of really dig deep. But one, it's the idea that the entire universe is made up of spirits. And those spirits can be invoked during special times. That's the sort of more advanced form of astrological magic. That's talismanic magic. That's theurgic. The other is that all time has meaning. And that's the stuff that everyone has access to. Friday means something different than Wednesday does. Friday at dawn means something different than Friday at noon. So the different times within Friday have their own meaning. And the third is that all of this has correspondences, planetary correspondences. If there's a dawn on Friday corresponds to Venus, then there is a color that is associated with Venus. There's a smell associated with Venus. There is an herb associated with Venus. So if you were to use that color, that herb, that smell on the day of Venus, in the hour of Venus, voila, you've just done planetary magic.
Okay, I want to talk about the little chart that's on the placard. The weekday order of the planets, and this is the order that most people know, is Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and so forth. You can find those if you know the symbol for the sun is a circle with the dot, and you'll just see it. It's yellow like the sun, and you follow the arrow around the circle, and the next is the moon, which is Monday. And the next is red, which is Mars, which is Tuesday. That's going around the weekdays. Where people get confused with the planetary hours is that they follow another system called the Chaldean order. And the Chaldean order, I don't know that it actually was Chaldean, I presume it actually was. The Chaldean order is that seven-pointed star. And it actually, you could follow along, and it could start with Saturn, Jupiter, Mars, the Sun, Venus, Mercury, and then the Moon, and then just repeats endlessly. So look at the charts and follow the arrows that form the seven-pointed star. And you just follow those arrows, and that's the order in which the planets will appear. So if you work on a Monday, and you get up at the dawn, and it's the moon hour, the next will not be Mars. It will not be Tuesday. The next will be Saturn, because you follow the arrow of the little star. So this is the hardest thing about planetary magic for people, is it doesn't follow the days of the week. It makes this seven-pointed star, which is sometimes called a heptagram. And this is very important to understanding which hour follows which hour. After Saturn, it'll be Jupiter, and after that, it'll be Mars, and then it'll be the Sun, and then Venus, then Mercury, and then it'll go back to the Moon again. And that will be the Moon at sunset on a Monday. So if you can just, I hope everybody, somebody in chat, tell me, can you understand what I just said? I hope so. Somebody give me a heart or say amen or yes in the chat, because this is the basis. This is why Claimed Paradise says yes, yes, as Hermetic Bear, yes, as Papa Newt. And Heather gives a victory, beaver victory sign, and says amen. Okay, so this is the hardest thing in teaching planetary magic to people, for me as an astrologer, just to get them to look at that chart. And again, thank you, Nagashiva, for taking the chart that was drawn by Gray Townsend for our books, and then colored by you and making it all make sense. We're going to put that on a web page somewhere and like tell people, here it is, folks, follow this. It'll all make sense to you forever.
And those colors there are themselves correspondences. So just as hours are associated with certain planets, the certain colors are, and that builds further symbolism. So like yellow for the sun, red for Mars. Mm-hmm. So planetary hours is about building those symbolic correspondences. Why, you know, why should you look at this diagram and figure out, you know, if it, it's the hour of the moon or the hour of the different colors.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, your voice cut out there for just a second. So, Shiva, we already have a request. Can you please put that on a web page? If nothing else, it should be on the web page for the thread for this show. But I'd also like it to be put on another page, which is called the Page of Planetary Rulership. So this is a Lucky Mojo page. Maybe Papa Newt can pop it in. It is luckymojo.com / planetary rulers. And there, Hermetic Bear did it. Oh, thank you. That's Brother Christopher. So that page also contains those same colors. So if you open up a little web browser on the side, you can follow along with us. So this is a page that will tell you some very crucial information on how to build your magic. So first of all, you'll see there are little pictures of the planets with those same colors corresponding. Open your browser wide. You want to get all the way to Saturn. So those colors and the words under them represent some of the principles of each sign, such as Mercury, intelligence, speech, writing, adaptability, communication. So if that's the kind of spell you want to do it on a Mercury day, at a Mercury hour, possibly. And so you look in that column labeled Mercury, and it says the day is Wednesday. The signs it rules are Gemini and Virgo. The body part is the lungs and intestines. The gem is agate. The metal is Mercury, which many people will substitute silver for because Mercury is toxic liquid. The tarot card is the Magician. The candles are orange. The scent is sandalwood. The archangel is Raphael. So there you can immediately start building an altar. You know what you're going to do. You know what you're going to wear. You know what kind of a candle you're going to use, what kind of an incense you're going to use. And then if you scroll down, you'll find a list of herbs as long as your arm, at least as long as my forearm on my screen. And you don't need all of these, of course. And some of them appear in more than one list, and because these lists come from all over. And these lists could have been lengthened a dozen, two dozen, three dozen more. But right now, we're just going to say, well, maybe if I'm going to be working with Mercury, I'd like caraway and carrot and celery and chervil and dill and fennel. And somebody at this point should stop me and say, what do those all have in common, Miss Cat? Oh, and parsley. So who wins a prize? What makes those...
I can answer. Yeah.
Go for it.
they're all umbelliferae.
That's right.
Part of the umbel family.
That's right. They're all in the carrot family. And they all have little seeds. Mm-hmm. And so just go through your herb cupboard and pick out any of those. You can crush them all together. They're lots of fun. And you'll have a mixture that you can burn on charcoal for Mercury. And that's how it's done, folks. It's really very simple. Now, you can do it yourself. You can also buy a herbal mix that somebody else will blend for you. But here it all is right there on that page. And then you can turn to guiding light for power and success. And you can find on page 45 the Orphic hymn to Hermes or Mercury. Hermes, draw near and to my prayer incline, angel of Jove and Maia's son divine. prefect of contest, ruler of mankind, with heart almighty and a prudent mind, celestial messenger of various skill, whose powerful arts could watchful Argus kill. With winged feet, 'tis thine through air to course, O friend of man and prophet of discourse. And it goes on and on and on. And it tells you all about who Mercury is. All right. So this is how this work can be done in a way that is simple, productive, nature-based. And of course, there is no right or wrong. No, that, you know, the Mercury police are not going to come after you and chop your head off if you get the wrong herb. But the idea is that this way you can build power. Now, Conjurman, when we were talking about this earlier, you talked about, and I think that also Brother Christopher and I talked about combining things. So I want to just sort of lay the groundwork for that. So let's say you know that your sun is in Taurus and your moon is in Aquarius. And according to the seven sacred planets, Aquarius would be ruled by Saturn, Taurus is ruled by Venus. So you got to find some way to combine Venus and Saturn. And maybe you have Gemini rising, and that would give you Mercury, the rule of Gemini. Now you've got three planets you've got to work with. And how do you do that? Many people will work on the day of their rule of their sign's ruling planet, but at the hour of the ruler of their ascendant. Some will choose the moon. What do you have to say, Conjurman?
Yeah, there's a variety of ways of combining. First, I would say this poor client with all that fixed and the random mutable thrown in there.
You feel sorry for me, huh?
I know. I remember your chart quite well. And I'd be like, oh my God, that random chaos, which does explain you quite a bit because you're very fixed. And then you have this random little bit of chaos. That's the
Gemini. Oh my God, with Uranus rising, like, yeah.
I always chuckle to myself because like you're very Taurian, you're very fixed on a lot of things. You're and then you'll throw in this random chaos, and then in my head I always go, that's the Gemini. I always go, that's the Gemini. So well, for me, one of the ways that I approach this is I would tell them to take whatever their sect light is. So if they're born by day, that's their sun. If they're born by night, that's their moon, and they would select the day of for that. And for the rising, they would use the planetary hour. And that's one way to combine it if that was an approach that someone wanted to take. They would use their sect light and their rising as a way of combining the planetary day and the planetary hour. And that's because the days are sort of ruled as overarching themes, which is whatever your sect light is or your luminary is, whereas the planetary hours are more particular, just like the ascendant is. That's if you want to make it really particular to your natal chart. Another approach, and this is the one that I think is more common, is to combine the days and the hours based off of what you're trying to do. So for example, one of the most common prescribed planetary hours, particularly in medieval Islamic planetary magic, is actually Friday and the hour of Jupiter. So not the hour of Venus, but the hour of Jupiter, so that you therefore get the blessings of both of the benefics. You get the blessing of Venus's day and the blessing of Jupiter's hour. And it was the most common sort of elected time for money magic, love magic, cleansing magic. So the actual texts themselves show us ways in which you can combine the day and the hour if you want to use them in sort of a different approach. So the day of Venus and the hour of Jupiter is very commonly used for blessing, love, and money.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's an interesting combination. Because I prepared a list of some proposed combinations for various specific effects.
Oh, great.
For example, you can work with the moon and Venus because Venus is associated with love, but the moon is associated with kind of appearance and illusion and glamour. So if you were to work on like a Venus day and then in the moon hour, you could take that Venus energy and project it more outwardly in order to draw in a lover or as of yet unknown lover to you. Whereas on the flip side, if you choose the Venus hour on a moon day, it could help charge up your glamour and that sort of mystical appearance that bewitches people. And so people will just be more drawn to you and be more inclined to do what you ask and favor your words and, you know, be nicer to you because they see this sort of like Venus kind of reflected through the moon power. And then for financial magic, the combination of Jupiter and Mercury, because Jupiter is so associated with money and wealth and good luck, but Mercury is business and kind of the movement of things and getting stuff from point A to point B and the whole communication of stuff, of trade and all of that. So it's like Mercury can help get the money to you, but can also help get your money to where it's going to, where you want it to be, to get to work for you better, in a sense.
So again, these are very wonderful combinations. There are also other combinations that are a little meaner. So, of course, we all remember Stupid Bloody Tuesday. Saturn is the ruler of enemies and foes, and Tuesday is the ruler of war. So people who light candles to curse might do a combination. Rather than working on Tuesday and Saturday, you might work on Tuesday at the hour of Saturn, mm-hmm. or Saturn at the hour of Mars.
And on the flip side, you could also use that to protect yourself from enemies with really devastating protections, you know, like a fiery wall of protection, so to speak, using Mars to create that fire and then Saturn to make it very solid and stable and secure. So it'll really just burn your enemies up if they try to violate the boundary you've laid down.
The sun is also quite protective, so Tuesday in the hour of the sun is a really good time to fortify protections. It's prescribed by Al-Buni as in one of his talismans for creating a barrier of protection. It's the day of Mars and the hour of the sun.
Wow. That's interesting. That's a good one. Yeah, see, all of these things can be found in various older writings. But you can also, if you have an understanding of it, you can kind of work intuitively. If you think about the planets as people, and they help you think about them that way by associating archangels with them and also deities from various cultures. So I was taught astrology, well, one of my several teachers was a man named Gavin Arthur, and he always talked about these people as characters in a play. And he wanted you to see and realize those characters and then be able to, if you were an actor, which he was, you could then enact what is Venus like, what is the moon like. What character actor would you have portray that in the movies that you're familiar with? And I always remember him saying, Jupiter is good old Santa Claus. And he said, he's your favorite uncle. He's good old Santa Claus. But it's true for all of those that there are characters that in plays and in films, and also even in song lyrics, that will remind you of these planets. And then it's sometimes helpful to visualize them as, you know, what they would do, you know, what would Keanu Reeves do now, you know, or whatever it was, you know.
Which is so interesting, because one of my first major astrology books used that exact same concept of thinking of the planets as character actors, and then the signs that they're in is like the role. And so when you put a character actor into a role that just doesn't work for them, then you can understand why, like, maybe this is not the right time to work with that planet per se, because it's in a role that just like doesn't make sense. Like if you try to cast Santa Claus, you know, into the femme fatale, like it's just like, why would you do that? How is this, you know, what was the consideration? And which sort of bridges the idea to me of, like we talked about it before, how Venus rules Taurus, like that is the planet that rules that sign. And all these signs have rulership and exaltation. And a lot of basic books on astrology will talk about that, but they never really explain what it means. Other than to say, well, this planet rules this sign, this planet is exalted in this sign, and you're like, and I remember starting out and just be like, what is that all about? And it wasn't until many books later that I learned about it. But it is useful just to know in a basic sense that if you have a planet in a sign and you can see what the rulership of that is, then you can combine those two, as Conjure Man gave an example of, as well as Miss Cat, of just like, you know, your sun is in Taurus, so if you work during Venus day during the hour of the sun, you can bring those things together. Mm-hmm. Or if your moon is in Aquarius, then you can work during Saturn during the hour of the moon, and it'll bring those energies together in a favorable way. And then if you throw that on top of it, where it's like you have the moon in Aquarius, but you wait until the moon is in Cancer, where it has its rulership, then it can sort of shift that energy around in a way where, since the moon is now in charge, in a role where it is empowered to do what the moon does, then that lunar energy can express itself with greater ease and facility through your magic.
You know what, again, just quoting Gavin Arthur, the way he taught exaltation and essential dignity or rulership, he said, you know, when you're in your home, you're in charge of your home. But when you're exalted, you're doing the best you can for yourself, your friends, and all humanity. And so that's why there are these signs that where planets are exalted, and they really are doing their best. There's also detriment and fall. It's a little system. It works. And again, you can find some of this at my web pages. You can find it in books. But it is interesting when you talked about, you know, Jupiter as Santa Claus and Venus as this seductress. I immediately think of Jean Arthur as the flighty, pretty young woman, and Charles Coburn as the Santa Claus. You know what I mean? Then they were in a movie together, and it plays around with this tense energy between the two. But it all works out well in the end. She's not a home wrecker. She's a lovely young woman, and she goes off with a lovely young man, and he goes back to his wife. It's really good. So these stories are kind of what you might call the, in a way, they are the basis for a lot of drama. The stories of the planets are dramatic stories, which you can understand and live through when you have a job to do for somebody and you want to use the power of the planets. Think of what that job is. Now, I mentioned before working on the day of a person's zodiac sign ruler and their rising sign ruler. And there actually are candles made for this, which mm-hmm. are called astral candles. And they first appeared in print in the Master Book of Candle Burning by Henri Gamache, whose real name was Anne Fleitman, and who was quite involved in all forms of occultism. And I think they might have also been mentioned in The Legends of Incense Urban Old Magic by Louis de Clermont, who is a mystery person who was apparently a pharmacist or the son of a pharmacist. But the idea was there, you take a candle of the color of your ruling planet, we just use the sun again, it's yellow, and you want to show up to work on a person who has Cancer rising, and you want to work for them for health and protection, because Cancers sometimes are weak health wise or, you know, worry about their health. So you want to get that connected to that sun, the healthy sun. You're going to work on a Sunday, and you know, you dip the lower half of the candle in the other color of wax. So you could take a solar candle and dip it half in light blue to have a Leo person who had Cancer rising, or you could, if they were a Cancer person with Leo rising, you'd take a light blue candle and dip it in yellow. And you might have to dip it three or four times to get that buildup of color on the bottom. Also, you can and did, and people do, crush herbs into the wax that you use for dipping. And, or if you're making your own candles, you can roll them in herbs. So those are called astral candles. They used to be hand prepared at hoodoo shops, you know, by your candle shop owner. But nowadays, most people make them at home. You only need to have the planetary colors if you want to use them that way, or you could go for all 12 signs of the zodiac. But that way of working, it will also kind of cue you into what planetary hour you're going to use if you work by planetary hours. Mm-hmm. Those are called astral candles. You can find a picture of one of them in my book, The Art of Hoodoo Candle Magic. It's a mm-hmm. picture that comes from the late 1930s or early 1940s. They were offering them for sale.
And you might be able to still find astral candles, although not labeled as such, but if you could find candles that have two colors mixed together that embody that planetary combination, or the combination of the sign and the planet, then you could use that as an astral candle for the person that you're wanting to influence, whether it's yourself or a target for love or mm-hmm. for a court case or something like that, mm-hmm. or even for an enemy. In order to kind of mark them more specifically, if you know their birthday and that information about them, mm-hmm. of course.
Yeah. If you don't know their rising sign, you can always go fall back on their moon sign if you can find that out. But you can also pick the type of work you're doing. In other words, if you want to work on somebody for money, but you don't know, but you do know that they are, let's say, a Gemini, and you're going to then dip that orange candle in maybe purple for Jupiter for wealth, mm-hmm. or you might dip it in Mercury for trade. You would just basically dip an orange candle with orange. But those types of combinations are very personal. They're made on the basis of understanding how these colors are connected. And again, the herbs that you use that you would want to be burning as incense or on charcoal to suffumigate the room is a very powerful way of building energy.
Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the things we're talking about is, you know, you've moved into this sort of intermediate level of using planetary hours for mm-hmm. astrological magic, is that there is a lot of ancient combinations and old text combinations, but a lot of this is also built off of, as Ms. Kat pointed out, a symbolic logic. And once you understand that symbolic logic, you're able to sort of add and build. And one way that you can use planetary hours is to build a ritual narrative. So you can do things like a cleansing on Monday in the hour of the moon, and money drawing on Wednesday in the hour of Jupiter.
All right. Well, that was unexpected. I thought we were going to go a little farther, but let's go to our station identification.
LMC. You're listening to the LMC Radio Network, broadcasting out of Forestville, California, on the World Wide Web at LuckyMojo.com.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance that brings you the best in hoodoo, conjure, witchcraft, rootwork, new thought, spiritualism, and pagan ways. Our shows include the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, live on Sundays from 3 to 4:30 Pacific Time, the Crystal Silence League Hour, the Wish the Priestess and the Cauldron, Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places, and the Now You Know Show. All these shows are available as audio podcasts via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and at YouTube, where we make daily video uploads. Please like and subscribe at youtube.com/LuckyMojoCurioCo. Sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company, makers of handcrafted spiritual supplies and offering the widest selection of magical herbs and roots, plus hundreds of free web pages filled with spellcasting tips and fortune telling techniques. Our shop is located in Forestville, California, and we sell retail and wholesale online at LuckyMojo.com.
Support for this programming is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners, located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by Hoodoo Psychics, the first psychic line run entirely by Hoodoo practitioners. Receive a reading with a trusted rootworker instantly. Call 1-888-4-HOODOO or visit hoodoopsychics.com, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of the Association of Independent Spiritual Churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time for our free spell segment with Brother Christopher of runeworker.com in Los Angeles, California. Take it away, Brother Christopher.
Thanks, Papa Newt. So the spell for today that I prepared is a Seven Planets Blessing spell. And this spell takes place over 7 days, over 2 weeks to complete. And for this spell, you will need a white candle, a purple candle, a green candle, a yellow candle, a red candle, a blue candle, and a black candle. And you will also need the oil and incense for Moon, Mars, Mercury, Jupiter, Venus, Saturn, and the Sun. Starting at a Monday at 6 a.m., take the white candle and anoint it with moon oil. Set the candle into a candle holder and light some moon incense, and then light the candle and then recite the following brief prayer. O moon who waxes and wanes, you who illuminates the night with your silvery glow, you are called Selene, Mene, Phoebe, Luna, Mani, Yariak, Chandra, Kamar. I ask that you shine your light upon me and bless me with all the blessings of the moon. Blessed be. And then you will let that candle burn until it goes out. And then on Wednesday at 7 a.m., take the purple candle and anoint it with mercury oil. Set the candle into a holder and light some mercury incense and light the candle, and then recite the following prayer. O Mercury, swiftly moving, darting forwards and backwards, giver of intelligence, eloquence, and knowledge, you who are called Hermes, Mercurius, Tyr, Uttarid, Buddha, Kokav, I ask that you shine your light upon me and bless me with all the blessings of Mercury. Blessed be. And then on Friday at 8 a.m., take a green candle and anoint it with Venus oil and burn some Venus incense and light the candle and say the following. O Venus, morning and the evening star, you who are never far from the sun, the giver of love, beauty, pleasure, and joy, you are called Aphrodite, Venera, Noga, Sukra, Zahara, Anahita. I ask that you shine your light upon me and bless me with all the blessings of Venus. Blessed be. And then on Sunday, take the yellow candle and anoint it with sun oil and light some sun incense and light the candle and make the following prayer to the sun. O sun, light of day and Lord of the heavens, dispelling all darkness and bringer of light and life, you who are called Helios, Sol, Shamash, Shams, Surya, Suna, I ask that you shine your light upon me and bless me with all the blessings of the sun. Blessed be. And then on Tuesday at 10 a.m., take a red candle and anoint it with Mars oil and burn some Mars incense and light the candle and recite the following prayer. O Mars, the red planet, the Lord of battles, the bringer of war, who quickens the heart and blood, you who are called Aries, Mavors, Mangal, Ma'adin, Mirik, and Baram, I ask that you shine your light upon me and bless me with all the blessings of Mars. Blessed be. And then on Thursday at 11 a.m., take the blue candle and anoint it with Jupiter oil and burn some Jupiter incense and light the candle and recite the following. O Jupiter, the greater fortune, the year star, equitable and generous in all your works, you who brings blessings and good fortune, and you are called Zeus, Jove, Ormuz, Brishapati, Guru, Mustari, and Zedek. I ask that you shine your light upon me and bless me with all the blessings of Jupiter. Blessed be. And then on the final candle, which is the black candle, and starting at Saturday at 12 p.m., a.k.a. noon, take a black candle and anoint it with Saturn oil, and burn some Saturn incense and light the candle and recite the following. O Saturn, most distant of the visible planets, slow in your movement, dark and cold, the works performed by you cannot be undone by any other planet. You who are called Kronos, Saturnus, Ulomos, Shabthai, Shanischara, and Zuhal, I ask that you shine your light upon me and bless me with all the blessings of Saturn. Blessed be. And the spell is done. You can tweak this spell to achieve other ends. Instead of using a white candle, you could use a candle colored for a specific goal. For example, for financial goals, you could use yellow or green. For love, you could use pink or red, asking the planet to bring in the blessings of love or blessings of wealth for you, with a slight change to where when you come to Mars and Saturn, you would instead ask Mars or Saturn to protect your wealth or to protect you from bad lovers and deceivers and liars in love, for example.
Wow, that's really good. That's amazing, and I love those invocations. That's really, mm-hmm. really well done.
I recognize some of the format there. It's very mm-hmm. cool.
Yeah, it's very, very, very good. And I'm going to just say again, if you look in Legends of Incense Urban Oil Magic, you'll see these seven Holy Spirit baths. These used to be sold. They were little dram vials of the colored oils of each of the planets, and you were to put the oil into a bath and bathe on each day prior to doing any candle rituals for those planets. They came in a box with seven little colored candles and seven oils. And so you can make your own again or use the planetary oils we have and the little 4-inch colored candles we have. So this is a very standard way of working among those who are hoodoo astrologers and goes back, as I said, in American hoodoo to the 1920s and 30s. All right, folks, this was great. And I really thank you, Brother Christopher. That was an incredible spell. Yeah.
Thank you.
Wonderful. We got a question from the Mango Witch. Aren't we taking readings anymore? And the answer to that is we are running one-hour shows now most of the time because that's what YouTube likes. YouTube wants shorter shows. So, hence no readings, but you can get free readings through Hoodoo Psychics. And just go to Magic Mondays at the Hoodoo Psychics Facebook page and get a free reading. All right. Let's turn this over to Papa Newt.
Thank you, Miss Cat and Conjure Man, and thank you, Brother Christopher of RuneWorkers.com in Los Angeles, California, for being our guest this week. We invite you to join us next week when our special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers will be Ethan Nickel of MyselfIsMyCards.com in Fullerton, California, bringing us the discussion on how to make money at psychic fairs and festivals. Once again, we come to an end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Cat via the Lucky Mojo forum at form.luckymojo.com and Conjure Man at conjuremanconsulting.com in Mission Viejo, California. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt, joining you from papanewt.com in Omaha, Nebraska. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour can be heard every week via YouTube live stream at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available at YouTube at youtube.com/LuckyMojoCurioCo. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to say thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you'll hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you so much. And that next show is going to be a real good one, I think. Mm-hmm. How to Make Money at Psychic Fairs and Festivals with Ethan Nickel. We have a lot of our listeners, our people who are professional, semi-professional, becoming professional readers and workers. So you don't want to miss this one. And it's going to really open your eyes to some things. We want to thank everybody who subscribes to this channel and everyone who leaves a comment. Please leave a comment. It helps the algorithm and we love you for it. You can also follow me on Patreon and support my work. Crazy and varied though it is, with Mercury the ruler of my rising sign. Good night, all.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Good night, everyone.